So I have no idea what I am doing. Somehow, as I was about ready to publish this, it should have been published over a week ago, but I noticed some things somehow got cut, and I have no clue how it happened. I tried editing back in, re-recording, and everything. You may hear those changes, and in it, you may hear some background noise, and I'm sorry, but let's cue the music. Welcome to Learning Lutheran, where we are learning the distinctives of the Lutheran faith. I would like to preface this episode first by stating some things I ashamedly left out of the introductory episode. And first is, my hope is that each episode points you to Christ, not anything that I've done, said, or that we can do for ourselves, but only Christ and Him crucified. And second is that in no way am I an authority, and nor am I trying to be. I'm simply just a layman trying to work this out and learn, and hopefully you can learn with me. And if you think I'm wrong on anything, I will leave my email in the show notes below, and reach out to me, and we can talk, and maybe we can even bring you on and revisit any particular episode that I might have said something that has some issue. And second, if you think I've gone as far as saying something heretical, I will leave my church's info, and you can contact them as well. In this first episode, we're going to talk about the first commandment. I'm going to rely heavily on Luther's Small Catechism and then the explanations that go with it, as I'm still learning everything about the Lutheran faith and podcasting in general. So, to get started, the first commandment: you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that is directly from Luther's Small Catechism. Everyone in the world is continually seeking some form of happiness, some sense of security, belonging, and meaning. We search for these things in money, family, friends, lovers, knowledge, on social media, approval from our friends. We may try to acquire the fanciest toys, and we may even turn to drugs. But these things always leave us wanting more. It is never satisfied, and our appetite only grows. All of this is foolish, and those who trust in their own wealth will fall. As Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. That is Proverbs 11:28 from the ESV. We turn these things into idols or a false god when we rely on them when we are in need, and to give us what we see as good. We can even set our family up as an idol, putting them as our God. It is hard admitting that putting our family up on that pedestal could be wrong, because we definitely should love our family, but if we put them in place of God, we aren't truly loving them. Matthew 10:37. I should have had all this marked out first. Matthew 10:37 says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." God has every right to command us not to place anyone or anything before him, because he is our creator and sustainer of all things. He knows exactly how to provide for our needs, and the only one who can. He is the one who brought Israel out of Egypt. Isaiah 42:8. Again, I should have had all this marked out to make it easier to flip. Isaiah 42:8 in the ESV. "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." And then in Exodus 12:51. Exodus 12:51, "And on that very day the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts." God requires of us in this commandment that we should fear, love, and trust in him above all. And then Psalm 111. Verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." And then Deuteronomy 6:5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." So what does it mean to fear God above all things? Growing up in Baptist circles, I always heard to fear God simply means to respect and be in awe of him. And I don't necessarily ever disagreed with that definition, but I certainly never thought it even came close to encompassing what it really was talking about to fear God. There seemed to me to be a ton of evidence in Scripture that pointed to a broader and a more full definition than what I had just described. And that was coming from me barely even knowing the Bible. But I obsessed with the fear of God and what it meant. I tried day and day and day to just figure it out. And I know I annoyed my friends with it, because I would constantly send them text messages quoting scripture that would mention the fear of God or something along those lines of like the earth trembling or something like that. My obsession over it eventually faded, but the sense of the importance for a proper understanding, it never did. I never came up with a good definition on my own, and it always just seemed a little out of reach until I read Luther's Small Catechism. And in the explanation section on page 60, under question 28, I think it holds the proper explanation I have been searching. And I'm going to read it. What does it mean to fear God above all things? It means to take God seriously as our Creator and Judge. He means what He says when He threatens to punish those who disobey. And then I'm going to read some scripture again, starting with Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And then Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then lastly, I'm going to read the entirety of Psalm 96. Psalm 96 says, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Psalm 96. We are to fear him the only true God who has created all things and will judge the world. What does it mean to love God above all things? Again, I will appeal to the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism. It means that we rely on God to take care of us and to keep all of His promises to us. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in the heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and the portion forever. John 14:15. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then Mark 10:17-27. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud, honor. Do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." The man thought himself good and asked Jesus what he must do to be saved. He thought he was keeping the law, but he had not kept a single one because he had broken the first commandment. He loved his possessions more than God himself. By doing so, his wealth and possessions have become an idol. He can't depart from what he has trusted over all else. So, we must be careful even here in America, where we have a wealth of treasures, even if we think ourselves poor. We have things that others could never possibly buy, and we tend to do as this man and place our comfort and security in them that are worthless idols that cannot do anything to save us. What does it mean to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? And again, I'm going to appeal to the explanations in the Smaller Catechism. It means that we should look to God first and foremost in our well-being, rather than to human achievements such as intellect, technology, or medical advances, human goodness, or religious devotions, money and possessions, pleasures such as food, drink, sex, sports, or entertainment, or even family and friends. And I've gone over some of this before, and we won't touch on it again here, but continue on. What happens when we trust in these things rather than our Creator? We confuse God, the Creator, with His creation, and thus break all the other commandments as well. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And what is the relationship between the first and the other commandments? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and therefore gladly seek to keep all of His commandments when we fear, love, and trust other things more than God. We break all the other commandments as well. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And before I made it on to the next question, I was in my mind thinking, but we can't do these ourselves. But I continued reading and realized it had answered this question anyway. Can anyone keep this commandment to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? And I absolutely loved the answer it gave. No. Jesus Christ alone perfectly kept this and all of God's commandments for us in our place. But all who have faith in Him by the power of His Spirit willingly strive to obey these commandments. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Some traditions will go as far as even telling us that we can attain the sinless perfection here and now on this side of eternity. But as we've read in 1 John, we can see that they're only deceiving themselves by teaching this. Christ didn't come to merely set an example that we can do. Just because He commands something doesn't mean that we can hold it on our own. Christ came to die for us, to actively be obedient for us. He not only didn't sin, but he actively loved God with his whole heart. He did everything that we couldn't do for us. He did it in our place to reconcile us back with him. I read in a book recently that said, the wonder of the gospel isn't in that we can do it ourselves. I'm quoting it wrong. It's the glory of the gospel is God's mercy and not our own worth. And that was by a guy named Matthew Everhard. And we should strive for this, but knowing we will never attain it. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3 say, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Why do the commandments begin with the words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt"? The explanation of the Catechism goes on to answer it. These words identify Israel's God. He rescues them from Egypt. The same Redeemer who rescued Israel also rescued us from sin and death, sending his Son to die and rise for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I'm going to go ahead and cut this episode off right here. There's still more to cover in the first commandment, but I want to bring my pastor and possibly the elder of my church on for this next episode to help me, because I come from a Reformed background, and this is talking about the use of images of Jesus and whether they're permissible or not. And being from the Reformed background, we would view it as a violation of the second commandment as far as how the other traditions split up the Ten Commandments. And I want to better understand this, the use of the images, and hopefully they'll be able to help me, and maybe through this it'll help you as well, regardless of where you fall on this subject. And hopefully it'll be a more organic, better flowing episode versus what this was. Gotta apologize. I relied more heavily on the explanations than I initially intended, but I'm still learning the Lutheran distinctives. I'm still learning how to podcast, and it's honestly really awkward talking to myself, looking at my computer or looking at my microphone. So hopefully having them on, it'll just be a better all-around episode, and they'll definitely be able to offer better insights than I could ever do. But until next time, thank you, and the Lord be with you.